whole, making plain to us, Lord, the revelation of your will for our lives. We would have a heart and a spirit of obedience to walk in it, dear God. Lord, we'll have the desire, dear God, to lay aside every weight, every hindrance, everything, dear God, to come into full submission to you. That truly, dear God, the space of time that you allot for us to live upon the face of this earth, we can live that, Lord, so meaningful. We can live a life that will be so worthy, a life that would bring honor and glory unto you, that others could see our good works and glorify you, our Father who is in heaven. Oh, gracious God, as we come into your house tonight to gather in your presence, Lord, hung in our hearts to the righteousness that you promised that we'll be filled with, oh God, the blessed Holy Spirit, Lord, that you promised you'd pour out, that we'll be filled, Lord God, to such a fullness that every fiber of our being will be filled with the presence of the living God. We know you don't give false promises, Father. We know if you said this will be so, it will be so, dear God. So, Lord, we pray you just help us tonight. You will lead us into a place, dear God, where you can see our hearts in that condition, our lives meeting that requirement, dear God, that your Holy Spirit will be so pleased that there will be nothing, oh God, that will cause you, Lord, not to be able to pour out in the fullness that you desire to, Lord, and promise to in us, dear God. May you grant it, Father. Lord, I appreciate being able to come back and be here with the saints tonight. Lord God, thanking you for every one of them, dear God, for the faithfulness, for the loyalty, and the posted duty tonight, to even to come into your house and stand here worshiping you tonight, knowing, oh God, hearing the good reports, Lord, over the past few months, Lord God, how they stood gallantly and loyally, faithful, dear God. May you bless them, dear God. I know you already have, and whatever situation that might be in their midst tonight, even to stand here in your presence, Lord, you'd be so mindful of them. Everyone is an individual before you. You set your eyes on the sparrow and you watch over them. How much more are we than sparrows tonight, Father? And Lord God, you know every need. May you supply that need as you promised to, even according to your riches and glory. I pray, dear God, desire my heart to fellowship with them, just to speak with them, a little heart-to-heart talk tonight, that the Holy Spirit, Lord, will give the flow, will give the leadership, dear God, and each and every one can be so relaxed and settled tonight that the Spirit of the living God can just feel free to bless us, dear God, and pour out your riches and your goodness in our hearts, Lord. May you grant it, we pray. We commit this service into your hands and ask that you get honor and glory out of all to be said and done. For we pray and we ask it in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Certainly appreciate being here tonight. I'd like to just take a little scripture reading. Genesis 1. In my heart, you know, I home on a... I think I'm going to be here tonight. I felt in my heart I just have to talk to you a little bit. Everyone feeling fine? Everyone all right? By God's grace? Amen. Very glad to see you all again and be in service with you. Coming here singing and worshiping the Lord. Genesis 1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. And God said, saw the light that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And the evening and the morning were the first day. And verse 26, that was verse 26. Because verse 6 right on, it goes on to the second, third, fourth, and fifth day of creation. And here we're taking the last thing that was being created on the sixth day, which is man. Since God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, let us make man in our image and our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female, created he them. And God blessed them. And God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply, and replenish the earth, and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. And let us turn the New Testament to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. A little background for the talk tonight. Second Corinthians 4, verse 6 and 7. Paul writing here. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, and shine in our hearts, to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. So here is Paul, he's looking back at Genesis, and he was taking that light when God spoke, or it shined out of darkness, and he's showing that something similar is happening in our hearts. And let's turn to 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And verse 21, God, for he hath made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Let's pray once more. Our gracious God, we just pray now, Father, as we come to sit in your house tonight, realizing you've always been so gracious to us, and here has been a place where we look forward to come in. We desire to come in your house, to dwell in your house, to build your people. And as we come and gather here tonight, we anticipate that a word will be spoken, something, dear God, that would shine into our hearts, even as Paul says there, you commanded the light to shine out of darkness. How that same light has shined in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Give us that knowledge tonight, Lord. Let that light shine in our hearts. We can have this treasure in earthen vessels, become a new creation. Oh God, may you grant it. We pray and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless me. Have a seat. Well, I have many things in my heart. I would like to talk with you tonight. I would like to tell you a little bit about the trip. I would like to just talk to you a little bit out of my heart and just fellowship with you around the world. And taking this a little background here, you know, maybe you could just turn a couple of places again in Ephesians 4 and Colossians 3, two places there. Ephesians 2:10 and then Ephesians 4:24. Ephesians 2:10, it reads like this. It says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. We are his workmanship. He is the workman, and we are his workmanship. And the work that he's doing is creating in Christ Jesus a people unto good works. And then Ephesians 4, verse 23 and 24 says, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. And that goes together with what we were reading there in 2 Corinthians 5, where Paul was saying about For he had made Christ, God made Christ, who knew no sin, to be sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. And we have been created, see, after God, being created unto in righteousness and true holiness, a new man. And so it's a whole work of creation, a new creation. And, you know, this is something that each and every one of us who is becoming that new creation in Christ, who is being made over anew. That you can't be a Christian without being a new creation. And to really understand this work that God is doing, the reason it's called new creation, because there was an old creation. Hey, and now look there and see Sister Jean and Mrs. Sister, God bless you all richly. I was wondering if he's going to be here, you know, the way it sounded like I wasn't going to see you. I'm really glad to see you. But we have something to talk, so don't get too far after service. Amen. I know you wouldn't, but really glad to see you tonight. Amen. You know, Sister Jean and our sister, they're trying to remember her name, but Stephen Samuel's wife, when I had to go up to preach the funeral, I think it was last year, September, I think it was, and God gave us a wonderful blessing there. So I just want to kind of tell about the trip, because, you know, I've been away for a month, and I've been away from you, going to Australia, New Zealand, and then the Fiji Islands, and then Tucson, Arizona. And I've been back for 12 days and my first time here. And I guess some of you almost is wondering if I'm going to come back. But, you know, it's so hard to bounce back sometimes. You know, each place is a different place. Each culture is different. The people is different. The church is at different stages, different levels. And, you know, by the time we had come out to the Fiji Islands, out in the Pacific, and out there, the people used to be cannibals just maybe over a couple of hundred years ago. It's a type of caste system, and they had the message here for quite some time now, but run into a lot of problems, and, you know, but God did some marvelous things, and there's so much I want to tell you, but I'm in a place here. I want to tell you a little bit of each, and yet at the same time, I want to try to tell you through the Word, because it's the only way I know to communicate something that helps your faith, that we can realize that we're not just, you know, going along hoping something's going to happen one day. It's happening. And what the Spirit can help us to do and give us peace and comfort is to let us see how He's doing it in our everyday life. Because sometimes when we look at our everyday life, it don't seem too exciting. It seems like some of the days pass and like nothing is happening. And so we wait for like events. But sometimes those events is only the climax, you know, the breaking out of things that was happening for months and months and months in your life, and then it produced something. You see, and, you know, that is what happens. And when God can help us to appreciate and to recognize how He's doing these things, it helps you and it gives you confidence. And that is why I believe, you know, the prophet tried to tell us that, you know, how God was being revealed in simplicity. He said, think of when the seventh seal has been opened. For 2,000 years, the Christian church looked for that. He said, look where this thing is happening. He said, we would have think this should happen in the Vatican. Because why? When you talk about Christianity, the place that the world recognizes as the head of all Christian authority, and the man that the world recognizes as the Christian leader, is the Pope, and the place is the Vatican. He said, then here, this is happening, and he said, right in this little piece of plot of ground here, it don't even look like maybe it's the right place to build a church. He said, here, but we could only afford this little place. It would be a swamp at the time, had a little pond here. He said, but look out at this place is where something has happened. He said, and yet this little place, its influence is known around the world. And he says, look, right here is where God, this thing that all the martyrs in the Dark Ages and all the saints in the Reformation and down through the Christian era that they look forward to, for this great thing that's going to happen, the coming of Jesus Christ and the rapture of the church and the message that's going to dress the bride, is they think that this is happening right here among us. And to him, it was outstanding, because people right in this city say, you think it's the people in this city that come to this church? He says, no. He said, people travel 1,500 miles to drive to come here. Because the people in the city, They have heard about it since a little boy growing up. When they're building the Ohio Bridge and 17 people, 100 of us fall over to the debt and everything, when the vision was stole as a little boy. And those people wasn't coming to the tabernacle who heard and believed those things. See, they was right by the Ohio River when the pillar of fire came down and the voice spoke. Hundreds was there. See, he said they don't come to the tabernacle. Yet the people there, they saw, they heard different things. And you know, it's marvelous what God is doing, because I was, when I came back from the trip, you know, there was a brother we had prayed for before we left. And many of the people didn't know much about the details and of what was happening. They saw prayer being offered for the young man, a nice brother we have in church called Brother Keith Williams. And he has a wife and about 3 children, I think. Young man, and he had an operation on his leg a couple of times before. And what happened, the cancer was all through the feet, right, going up into the stomach. And when the doctors saw they said this leg have to be amputated immediately. And there was this woman who was an unbeliever. She was just walking right there. But she looked at him, a young man like that, you know, and then have to lose his leg. And the doctor ordered immediate amputation of the leg and everything else. And they had a couple final tests to take place. And you know what happened? That woman come out just and wrote a check for $1,500 to pay for the couple scans and different things and tests in Moncton Hospital. And she paid for it out of her own money, because he can afford it at the time, and he was in a situation. Could you imagine, you go to a doctor office and they tell you something like that, and you're faced with what to do right away. And he says, wait, he says, I need to talk to my pastor about this. He says, you know, I mean, it's my leg you're talking about. So he went, he took the test, and so on. He came and he told me, it's really confirmed, it's like that, and the doctor went to amputate the leg. And he said, but I don't want him to take my leg. He says, you know, I believe that, you know, God is here, and if you pray, and you know, the saints pray, he says God is able to help him out of it. Well, after preaching one of the Sunday mornings, I think on the message, Prisoner to God Will, or something like that, and we called him forward and anointed him, and you know, cursed that thing. And then after, we went on the trip, and when I came back, he was there in church, and he was giving the testimony, and he had the certificate. And the doctors, after they scanned him, I mean, they couldn't find a trace, a single trace of the thing. But the doctors wrote the certificate and give it to him and told him, he says, the type of cancer it was and the type of tumor, there's 2 people in Trinidad alone had that, he and another person. And the doctors from the Philippines, and he said, all the Philippines, we don't have one of those cases. It's such a rare disease. They had sent the tests and the samples to Canada, and I had seen the report when the doctor in Canada wrote back. He says it's very interesting. They're so glad to be in communication with this doctor who is doctoring this person who had this disease, because in the medical fraternity they are accumulating all the knowledge that they can about this type of disease. And so, you know, But that has some very interesting things in the testimony. I tell you, to help you raise your faith and let you see the simplicity of how things happen. And we were there talking, you know, and I was telling them, I says, you know, look at that. The doctor signed it, and the doctor says, he said, this is an absolute miracle. He said, I'm going to sign it, and I'm going to put that down. He said, inside the file that they keep in a historical record of this case. He says, so they'll have that to refer to, because of what took place. And he had the whole certificate and everything. And you know what happened? This brother, he went in the library and they gave him some tapes of a series of messages that was preached on doings of a snow white dove, about your enemy is dead. You know, when Brother Brown went up the mountain and he saw this thing that troubled him for all his life, dead in the cactus. And the voice of your enemy is dead, you know. And we had a series of services was preached on those messages, and it was given to him by one of the librarians. And he was expressing his thankfulness to the librarian who gave him the tape, because I guess it inspired librarians. They know he's in a condition. They know the dove have to do with total deliverance and so on. So they was kind of feeding him these tapes. And he decided, he said, a little serious listening, maybe it's going to help your faith in the time of trial. So he said he listened to the whole series. And the last one to listen, you know, you're saying, he said, Lord, you know, I believe you can do this for me, and you're going to do this for me. And And he says, come to think of it, in his yard had a cactus. And he get this now, and I was only listening to the testimony in church, yeah? And here was this, he said, Lord, you know, I'm going out there by that cactus, you know, show me my enemy is dead and different things. He went out there in the yard, he saw a snake under the cactus. Boy, will he get thing right away, he got to get him to kill the snake. When he just got to hit the snake, only to realize the snake was already dead. Strange. I mean, think of it. You know, think. I mean, we talk about simplicity in how God does things. It don't mean nothing to the neighborhood. It don't mean nothing to the neighbor in the next yard. It don't mean nothing to his own family. He's in a channel with a tape. He's looking to God for something to speak something. He is praying a certain prayer. Comes in the yard and hears a cactus in the yard. Maybe since that cactus is planted there, one day a snake is going to come to one is going to hear that message. It was preached years ago. It's in the library. Somebody give it to him, and when it happened, he all this mind you before he went back for the final test. So when he went back there, you know, he went with such faith, he didn't see anything. And you know, he started to give the details of the testimony. And it was so remarkable to see, you know, in simplicity, in your world, in your own little environment, how everything can mean something and how God can inspire to you to lift your faith to a certain place, and your faith can catch those things. And you know, and I was telling the people, I said, now look, I said, that is demonology in the physical realm. I said, no, that's a great thing. I said, that's what we wait and we long to see. We want to see that. I said, but you know something? What is happening now is beyond that. I said, because if he don't know his position in the Word, and if he don't know who he is, I say, no, it's going to happen. He could still be lost after he had his experience. He could still not make it. I said, but you know why he could have faith, and why he could plug into a certain channel like that, and why he could anoint these things, is because faith, he recognizes his position in the Word. God already had done a work in the soul. The soul was already placed in the channel of the Word. And because that, seeing his symptoms in his own physical body, he can believe God to remove what's in his body. See? And then I was explaining what the prophet said, how the opening of the Word is beyond miracles. Because that was the first pull. First pull still working when the third pull is taking place. Because the third pull was the revealing of the Word. See? To reveal hidden truth. But you see, I said, no, when we look at something great, our relationship to greatness and the things happening and the realm that is happening in, and it seems so simple many times. But you know, if you remember in the Bible, there's a little story about Hannah, and you know, she couldn't have no children, and her name was Hannah, which means grace, I think. And Elkanah, her husband, means God is the Redeemer. And I can't call right now what the pen in her name meant. But Peninnah was the next wife, the concubine. Hannah was the married wife. And Peninnah was having children, one after the next. And Hannah seen Peninnah with all these children. She began to get so discontented. She began to get so frustrated. She began to get so depressed that she began to, you know, pull on the can of her children. And he says, am I not more to you than 10 sons? See? Look what the realm she was in. She wanted a son because it was pushing her into competition because the other wife was having children. And Peninnah was provoking Hannah, who couldn't have no children. And Elkanah, to comfort his wife, is telling her, he said, am I not more to you than 10 sons? In other words, you have me. If you have me, the husband, you have everything. You see, the Pentecostal church, sometimes you hear, this one get a healing, this one get this, this one get that. And we feel that, boy, the bride, they have nothing, and the bride, they have this, and the bride, they have this, and the bride, they have this, and they all have everything. And sometimes people want to leave the bride and go in the world too. See? Because they not understand the situation. They get so discontented that they want what the concubine has. But the God who is the Redeemer, God who is your husband, the giver himself, you have the giver. And in the giver is every gift. But they have a gift without the giver. You see, and God wants us to see what we have is so much more by having Him. And the position that we are placing, and the comfort and the peace and the blessing it should be to us, that it should remove our discontentment, it should remove our fear of being left out of anything that maybe God is doing. And it should bring security to us to know that if you have the wedding band and the marriage certificate and reveal the name to you, and you're in the invisible union, and you're your wife, and you the marriage taking place, and you promise the wedding supper and the honeymoon and the future home, and the Bible says, they rejoice, thou barren, and break forth into singing. They start to enlarge your tent, because the married wife, is her season now. He says the other one had more children than the married wife for a while. See? And the married wife was like barren. But now is her time. Look at Rachel, how she cried for children. Until Jacob says, you think I is God? What are you meant to do? But look when Rachel brought forth, when God remembered Rachel, she didn't bring forth all them people wanted. She brought forth the one who is going to save the world. She brought forth Joseph. She brought forth Benjamin. Look what come from her womb. See? So you see, when you watch the word, friend, and you see how God is bringing to pass what is happening, it must be the way it is because of the way it was laid out in the Bible. It wasn't put, them things wasn't stories. It's put there to unfold the mystery of when, because this is the age when the real wife has come. This is the age of the marriage. You see, this is the fullness here. And those things, it typed and foreshowed the experiences of the married wife in the time of barrenness and different things she would have to go through and the reproach she would have to bear. But then when she bring forth, she's bringing forth quality. See, I notice none of Peninnah's children was named in the book, but the children Hannah gave birth was named. Even the book is called 1 Samuel and 2 Samuel. And then when she gave birth to Samuel, he came and he was prophet, he was priest, he was judge, he was everything in Israel right there. Is that right? Exactly. So you see then that God many times, you know, to take away our discontent and take away our fears and try to show us what real security is. Show us His love, His elective love, how He loved us. Now, I read this scripture here tonight because I want to talk to you a little bit about putting in remembrance of what has taken place. And we don't forget what God did for us and is doing for us. So it's like reviewing where we are and then a preview of looking forward to where we're going. And it's a principle in the Bible. Because one of the work the Holy Spirit does is when He comes, He brings back all things to remembrance. That's one of the purposes the Holy Spirit is sent for, because the faith to make your next step is locked up in your present experience and what you have gone through. You see, that God, that's why, you know, you don't go through certain things until a certain season. And God is leading us in a certain way. And what you have come through in the already, the stage of the journey you have covered is necessary that you be able to understand and catch a spiritual understanding. Now, many times we pull on an individual level and then we get so locked in on an individual level that when God speaking to us as a church now, we don't feel identified, because you feel that is not me. But we are a body of believers here too. And the individual is only a member in the body of believers. And some individuals is making leaps and bounds. Some still trying to get a hold of certain things. Some have peace. Some don't have peace. Some have a measure of revelation. Some have a greater measure of revelation. Some have joy. Some still need to get rid of the palmer worm so they can have back the fruits. Joy and peace and long-suffering and temperance. Some's trying to find what is going to take to kill the palmer worm, you see. Some locusts still on the tree, so they miss Wednesday night and they miss Friday night. And the only leaves they have is what can come out Sunday morning for fellowship. See? The locust he leaves his fellowship. So if the locust eating some of your leaves, then you find like your leaves and them becoming And then you better know when you want a little shade. You don't know they want to be in church all the time. You can get some shade from them because they have the leaves. You don't go on that tree that have no leaves for shade. Amen? You see, and because the leaves are not wither. It wants to stay planted by the river. It's going to bring forth fruit. It's going to bring forth leaves and going to bring forth fruit in due season too. And it's some great things that's happening. Because I was saying that, you know, to show you that there's a lot moving, there's a lot happening. And if we can, you know, really move and open our hearts and, you know, not opening your hearts, but, you know, more and more, when I speak general. You know, I was looking at a couple scriptures where Paul and Peter, different one was speaking to the church, and maybe I'll just read them to a save of time. I'll just call the scriptures so I can read them quickly because I want to just get out of this, but to express a little more what I want to say. In verse 14, Paul is telling Timothy, say, of these things, put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord that they strive not about words to no profit, but to the subverting of the hearers. And Paul is commanding Timothy, he says, look, put the people in remembrance, keep them in remembrance. Also, in 2 Peter 1, Peter is saying, wherefore I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, although you know them and are established in the present truth. Yea, I think it's fitting, as long as I'm in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance, knowing that shortly I must put off this my tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ hath shown me. Moreover, I will endeavor that you may be alike after my decease, to have these things always in remembrance. And then, also in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 1, he said, this second epistle, beloved, I now write to you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance. So they saw the need of putting the church in remembrance. And if you remember, the first message I preached here officially when I started was, let there be light, out of Genesis 1. So 5 months have passed. I've been away from you for a month, and I come back, and I felt I want to kind of look at something that happened over the 5 months that you have sit as a church and have been going through a new phase of your development and experience, and as a church body of believers in trying to get everybody settled and trying to get everybody to the place where we can come in one man and one accord and then begin to have the kind of administration that we can really move on in faith with a united effort as one body. And so I read that scripture to put in remembrance, and I read these others here to show you the principle of putting the people in remembrance, because over in the Old Testament as well, if you study the book of Deuteronomy many times, you know Deuteronomy is only a recapping. It was only a rehearsing of what the children of Israel had been through in the journey from Exodus, Leviticus, and Numbers. And, you know, God spoke to them very straightforward in the book of Deuteronomy, and especially in chapter 8, Moses was telling them, thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness, to humble thee, to test thee, to know what was in thine heart, whether thou wouldest keep his commandment or not. And he humbled thee, and suffered thee to hunger, and fed thee with manna which thou knewest not, neither did thy fathers know, that he might make thee know that man doth not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of the Lord thy God. So Moses was trying to tell him, he said, you stop at a junction here. He said, but I want you to know, you must always remember all the way. There had come a journey, there had come a certain way. And every step of that way was necessary to pass them that way. And because each stage of that way that they had traveled was for teaching and instruction that was going to unfold to them later on to prepare them to possess the promise. So when they were getting ready to enter into the promise, Moses now knew that if they didn't know the distance they traveled and God's purpose in passing the way past them, and then become anointed with that understanding, and that understanding governing the behavior and the attitude as they enter into a new phase, then they was not going to have much success. Because it means to say they would have missed the preparation and there would have been no shape to go further. So at that stage, God in Deuteronomy stopped them and began to go through with them what they had come through. And that's what Paul and them was doing and Peter and them was doing. They had to bring people back into remembrance. The Bible says, forgetting things that are past. That means your sin and the things, different type of things, you know, ways to revel and different things and different lusts in the flesh we had. But when it says, bring the Holy Spirit brings things of remembrance, the things in our life there that was necessary and relevant in the plan of God to teach us and train us and develop us that we shall be able to go further. And that is why in preaching sometimes, you know, the word always have to be taking you back through what you have already been through to make sure you don't miss what the Spirit was saying to the church and why you had to come a certain way. Sometimes those things cannot be appreciated in depth. And so you think that you are hearing the same thing over, or you think that what is being said, you know, it making you look bad. But the thing is, God passing your way because it's necessary that you understand. Because when God is going to take you into a further stage, you will see that there is such a relevance. Amen. There is such a way that, because God already knows what the future will be. Right now, we say future because it is in the future. When the past was present, see? At that time, the past was present. But now it become past. All right? And it's about time that what is future now will become present. Tomorrow is future. Friday is future. Saturday is future. Sunday is future. But Sunday morning when we stand here, Sunday will no longer be future, it will be present. And then what is present now, Wednesday night, it will be past. Amen. Well, so it is. God is the I Am. And there's no past, no present, no future with Him. Everything is present. But to us who are time creatures here in a body of time, see eternity in a body of time, yet our mind is locked away from us. Revelation brings the future to us. See? And give us faith, which is a long-range vision, to see what is coming. And Noah being warned of God of things not seen as yet, could prepare. Abraham could prepare and make ready for the baby that was coming. Because Revelation take him up in the realm where the eternal God is. It takes him out to the humanistic realm where he can believe and expect and live like those things are already happening. See? Now when we look and we see then that how God is bringing us, and in the church here we've been coming through, and you know it's necessary in even the plan of God for God to take me away for the month. It's good. See, I come up for the month and you kept your service and you kept it. What does that tell me? It tells me you're getting settled. If by the time I come back, church is disorganized and disarray and discontented and back there the same way, then we will not make much progress. Now, there's many areas we may need to make more progress and would like to see greater progress, but there are some areas we have definitely made progress. And as we see the areas where we have made progress, then we stand there, we maintain that, and then we try to strive for more of what we need to have. Amen. Because remember, the promises of God are sure. What He promised He will do for us, He wants to do it for us, but He needs to work with us to bring us into condition to receive what He promised us. And if we come in that condition, we will be able to receive it. Because God, when He gives us something, it must benefit us, it must glorify Him, it mustn't glorify us. It's going to glorify Him. It's going to assist us. It's going to give a witness to others. See? Remember the time in the Bible, God did a miracle with Paul among them people in the book of Acts. Isn't that right? And Acts 16, 17, somewhere there. And boy, they got stirred. You talk about people got inspired. But look where He took them. They run, they get some garlands. They say, use Mercury. They say, use Jupiter. Use this here. The gods is here among us and everything else. My goodness. So sometimes God knows, send the man by the doctor. Another miracle just may send people fanatically wild and sort of make things the wrong things. God was showing compassion on a sick man who had faith, believing what Paul was saying. The rest of people tried to take the miracle and carry it off into some big strange thing and make it the gods and Jupiter. And they went straight back into Roman mythology with it. Showing there was a wrong meeting, but there really wasn't necessarily believers. You got to go and carry them. You see? So sometimes, the supernatural can really push people in a certain shape. And that's why it caused impersonations in the first and second Paul. And that's why even the prophet had to be rebuked too, because what happened, God had to rebuke him because he said, you're causing carnal impersonations with these things. See? And then he was catering to the people because it was in the realm of the flesh, in the five senses, so it excites people. But in the realm of the sixth sense, where the five senses cannot contact and take the new birth now, then the person who don't have the new birth and can't see what is happening in that realm, it should make them thirsty. Lord, give me that new birth. Lord, open my eyes. Lord, bring me there and I can see it. See? It's because they know there's a realm there. See? But the person now who is not too interested in the unseen realm or what's happening there, and, if they don't see nothing in the eyes, nothing is happening. If they see something in the eyes, something is happening. See? So that it's not a kind of Christianity. So here Moses was trying to get them to a place to let them see that God did it. He said, and thou shalt also consider thine heart. He took them back in the past. He said, don't forget, remember where the Lord passed you all the way. And he says, not present now, thou shalt consider thine what is in thine heart. The present. And then he began to point them to the future and now the land that you're getting ready to go in and possess. And he began to tell them afterwards too. He says, look, you when you go home in little family worship, I just don't have time to speak with everybody. But in chapter 9, he's telling me, he said, understand therefore this day, we have come to this spot, and this day you are going to start to go in to get your inheritance. Now what he was doing with them is, I'm just trying to bring the principle of it. He was trying to let them see, God brought you through so much years to this spot. That wasn't the fastest way to bring you. It wasn't if God was thinking about getting you there with speed, he'd take a different route. But God wasn't working in a speed channel. God is working with revealing himself. If I pass you where there's no water, it will allow you to know I can provide. If I pass you where people hate you and fight you and attack you, and don't want you to pass through the land and these things, I will teach you I can fight your battles for you. See? And then God passed in a way that where it gave him an opportunity to reveal himself to you, to convince you. He didn't just want to take you out of the system, out of Egypt by a prophet message, but he wanted to become your God in the journey, your provider to supply your every need, take care of your every situation. He wanted to prove to you that he's interested about you, he cares about your needs. And no matter how small it is, whether it's your shoes and your feet, he will make sure those shoes is not destroyed. He'll make sure your feet don't even get sore. He'll come like a cloud in the day, even the sun too hot for you, to give you a shade. When you're thirsty, he'll be mindful of you and he'll have a rock with water for you. He's interested in your needs. You don't have to beg and plead for it, you see? And God wanted to let himself be known to his people because it is that revelation of their knowing him and having confidence in him is what they will have to use when the time comes for them to possess what they have to possess. They'll be able to go in and take it, even though it seems impossible. They already know, God have shown to me that he cares. God have shown to me he understands. See, because so God wasn't like didn't know where to pass me, and it's through his blunders, he make me suffer a lot. No, that wasn't the thing. You mean to say, God, they take God 40 years just to give me from here? No. So Moses said, remember all the way. Every step of that way. He bring them to a Red Sea. He lead them right. They camp there. And it looked like he leave them no retreat. And the enemy say, they have no retreat. Everything fall into my hands. Not knowing God is going to destroy the enemy for them. That they could worship and praise God as a great conqueror. That he don't only redeem by blood, but he redeemed by power too. Amen. And that blood, that redemption by blood made something available that is present tense for them in the journey. See? Now, those were lessons that was necessary to teach them that they might come into the relationship that he had with them. That was put for examples. That we might understand in this Exodus how he's bringing us. And every church makes the journey. Every individual makes the journey. God meets every man in Egypt. He meets every church in this age in Egypt. God bring every man to Canaan in his inheritance and give him all things under the feet. So each one of us come through three stages of redemption as an individual, as a church, as a family, whatever it is, on whatever principle God is dealing with us, we come through that way. And he shows us how he takes us out of the condition, he takes the condition out of us. He brings conditions to let you see, I have taken it away from you. And he put them to fight against enemies that they'll be scared of normally. And God let them defeat them enemies with God in the midst. So they realize we don't have to run and hide. God is present with us. God is standing with us. He's united with us. And so they were learning. Now, have we been learning? Have we been understanding? Have we take time to reflect? We review internet, putting back in remembrance for that day. When the evening come, we start to reflect and we come back down through the day to see how we spend the day, see the situation, see the areas where we fail. We don't want to go into the new day with something from left over from yesterday. We want to come into the Lord. We want to make our wrongs right. We don't want the sun to go down on our wrath. Is that right? We watch these things. We can sufficiently we consider all these things where we are, how we live, how we please Him. Then we say, Lord, tomorrow I want to live with closer to you than I did today. I want to live as though you're coming today. When I go to live, that's your attitude. Why? Because you realize you don't know the hour when your card will be taken off the rack. See? And you see, His presence is here. He's here with us. Like yesterday, we had a funeral service, Brother Leon Lewis, some of you would know him. And preaching there, and the Holy Spirit moved in such a way and struck their hearts, their family especially. Some come from overseas and some who was from there. In the meeting, I was even testifying. I said, you know, the way God moved in the funeral service yesterday was like in Canada. The way the Spirit just moved and Sister Hope, our elderly sister in the message, Brother Robert Hope, mother, she met me in the cemetery. She said, I don't talk much, but I have to tell you this. She said, as plain as I see you, I saw a man standing in a long robe and his hand was pointing straight to the pulpit like that. She said, I saw it as clear as I've seen you. And, you know, I said, Mama, I said, we know he's here. He's among his people. Yes, he wasn't seeing the angels in them wrong. And God said, well, open the boy's eyes. You see, and more and more, God, you know, is confirming His word and working with His people, and things is happening. You see, and we are in this in such a way that whatever we do, there is something. We don't see it and we don't grasp it always. We are unable to live in it and maintain it because we still in this body of flesh. You get tired, you want to sleep. You know, we get distracted with something else. We come out of the atmosphere. As Brother Bram says, there are things that I need to do today. He says, right there with me. I have it lined up what I need to do. Tomorrow is a million miles from me. He says, I can't keep it together. I just trust in God's grace that He let me go from day to day. Sometimes it looks like, you know, we become irresponsible. But it's not that. Sometimes it's to cope with the rapidity in the way things are happening. And that is why, you know, the more simpler you get and the more yielded you become and the more surrendered you become to God and the more you begin to appreciate little things, is the more God unveils to you. If Satan holds you in some mystical realm somewhere and looking for something and going to come up in the sky and, you know, it's strange. And, you know, I was home. I had an earthquake, I think, last week sometime, yeah? I guess you all felt it. I sat down there and see the whole house was shaking like that. And the first thing struck me, I said, look how these things come unannounced. I said, this didn't have to be so gentle. This could be violent. I said, but look how unannounced. And I said, look how a person needs to be living in God's presence daily. And then next day, it had this sign in the sky, this red rainbow around the sun. I mean, it stood there. And then, you know, you watch. And I said, you know, things are happening all around. But, you know, how we need to be, you know, walking close, sensitive, staying, living in the Word. See, observing. And that's why it benefits us. And I felt that, you know, I wanted to review some things there. Because if you notice, in with Moses and in the Old Testament when they were coming to that first Exodus, with Paul and Peter in the New Testament, in the second Exodus, they stop and they review them. And they show them when God came to them, where God passed them, how God led them, why he dealt with them here, what lesson there was to learn, how it should benefit them, how they need to use and draw from those. Look like David. He went back into the land and the bear and these things. He was going back into his history and realized that was there for a purpose. And he could draw and benefit him. Now, as an individual, as a people, as a church, you see, we realize the principles in the way that God deals with us and we benefit from it. And that is why, because God knows how he will deal with us, he don't reveal everything to all of us at the same time while we sit here. God knows you hearing it and you receiving it. And he knows that because of what I want to use you for and because of the things you're praying for, the thing in your home, I can look at your family and the thing is upon your heart, then when I deal with you next week in your home and when I bring this other family to come and see you over here and that happen over here, then these things that you're hearing is going to come back and it's going to be that with you. Another person is on your job, is going to come over here to you and then you're going to see, and then another person, you know, they might be catching it right there because they need it right away. And different ones, you begin to realize that God knows what you're going to be facing next week and week after. And you know the areas you're fighting with right now that you desire to have victory over and see come under your feet. And he knows if you're fighting as one beating the air, he knows you need to be trained to fight the enemy. He knows maybe you're not have a discernment of how the enemy is working to hinder you and you're becoming frustrated easily or you're lapsing your concentration. He knows how. And he knows how to deal with you. Sometimes, you know, the devil have you just busy. You're not in sin, but you have you so busy doing this and this and that that you don't have time to sit quiet a little bit. Where you could reflect and go back. See? Because before you finish what you do right now, you're already giving the next plan for tomorrow and a plan for next week, and you have so much things laid out there to do that you don't have time to even look where you come through and examine and fellowship a little bit. Sometimes while you're going through something, God says, read this book here or read that book here. You pick up that book, and before you even get to read the book, but you go to something again. And then you have this book to read, and then this other book to read, and this other book to read, and by the time you go back to read, like no inspiration, because, and then that should only tell you we need to be able to establish a better control in the affairs of our life, because Satan don't have to get you in sin to defeat you. He just have you, there's a neurotic age, the pressure upon the people, you know, busy, have them work up, have them frustrated. But God wanted, you're not going to miss nothing if you don't just get in everything that's going on. Sometimes we feel we're missing out on this, or we missed out on that, or this one's going to get something and benefits, so we need to go there too. And by the time we do, we waste time here doing that, we waste the time here doing that. And if we were more disciplined, we could have used those times in quietness by ourselves with the Lord, where he could have talked to us. And when we meet somebody afterwards, we can give out something to them that God gave to us while he was in secret. God told Elijah, go hide yourself. Go hide yourself. You see, before you can show yourself, there's a hiding of yourself. The man who's going to be used by God in public is a man who has to be with God in secret. But Abraham never came to a court of running here and here, held us to everybody. Oh, he's going to the wilderness when time come. He's going to cave. See? Why? Because he become a prisoner to the will of God. And sometimes that's what happens with us, and our lives don't get deep. Our lives stay shallow on the surface, and we hope we get fast foods always. God is not in the fast food business. God has grow his food. God has water his crop. God is coming in the harvest time to reap it. God is getting his son to ripen it. I want to eat it. They didn't spray some chemical in it to make it look yellow. You see, and some of us, you know, we just try to live on fast food. They have no nourishment. See, God's way is that God knows how one. The first realm is hearing it. Hear it intellectually. You know, the second realm is a bed on getting the heart. You need to take experiences now to write that law in your heart and your mind now. To make that word you hear become spirit and life inside you. To make it personalized. To make it actual in your experience. That it will not just be a hearer of the word, you'll become a doer of the word. See? And he knows that. He knows you don't become a doer of the first time you hear it. See? He knows especially some of the things need to become real to you. You hear? Like the prophet read the scripture over and over. He says, if somebody asks me, I'll tell them that means some power given before the cross. All this with a quick thing, you know. It don't work so. That was, to reveal that, you had to be tested in the woods. Amen. God had to take him to a school, a training. When he spoke, he tried to walk away. God said, come back here. He already said, stand up here and believe. Not everything going to come as you want it. You have to have patience to wait a little bit. And God, he said, God know how to school you. You see, so once that become real, then the more you speak of him, it's not like trying to remember the quotes from the book or what the prophet said. It is that God was showing me what the prophet says, and God dealt with me with what the prophet says. It's not like you repeating what you read then. Because why? There's a faith that goes with it now because God take you through an experience and he made that a word of reality in your life. And then it becomes spirit and life. When you speak to somebody, you can convict them. When you speak to somebody, you can lift the faith. When you speak to somebody, you can bring comfort to them and drive away their grief. Why? Because there's a living word going forth there. Amen. See? And that is where he wants to do with us. And if we desire it, he's going to give it to us. Because all around us, you know, just to move into it, you know. You see, think of it this way. The Holy Ghost was there on the day of Pentecost, and they're all true, and many people was looking for the Holy Ghost. Some didn't know the promise of it. Some didn't know how to go into it, but it was there. Because remember when Apollos was there, he didn't know the Holy Ghost was already available. He said, what Holy Ghost? He said, have you seen the Holy Ghost in the belief? He said, what Holy Ghost? No, the Holy Ghost is present. But the thing was, he was preaching and everything else, but he didn't know that thing was already here, already available, and others were moving into it all over. But the first thing before he started moving, he said, I'll get a revelation. It was there. It was made available through Christ's death and his resurrection. It was sent back on the church. And through identification with the death, burial, and resurrection, and coming there in obedience to the word, you're going to receive it. So the channel begins to open, and then he can move into what was there. Like perfect love is here. Perfect faith is here. All these things, there's nothing to come. Perfect faith, go back and read what he says. He said the Holy Ghost is here with all the power right now. He said, but all we need is faith to charge what is here. Faith is a revelation, a channel God opened to the believer. You see? So the thing is all around you. The angel, God had to bring the angels down. God had to open the boy's eyes to see what was already here. When he began to get in contact by revelation what was here, it began to change his attitude and conduct to the things that was oppressing him, overpowering him. And as God, you know, is working and doing those things in your life, you're going to find that you don't have to struggle. Trust him and believe him. You don't have to struggle. Don't think again, left out of nothing. Don't have a shortcut. Don't try to become a super duper. Because remember, are we going to see? This new creation, we started here and we started by inspiration with Genesis 1. And we took that scripture, how God's attribute was in darkness, and God had to deliver it. And how God started to do by his word, the Spirit of God move. And I said, like the first move in the entire Bible is the Spirit. And if you want to see the Spirit move again, it will have the characteristics that were shown in the first move. When we hear the movement of the Spirit, it's a terminology. And after the terminology, without a revelation, we could go haywire. But when we see in the Bible the Spirit of God move, and the first move of the Spirit, and what is achieved in that first move for an attribute of God, you know what, every time the Spirit move, and he move towards his attributes, what is going to be achieved for them. And that goes down to the Bible like that. So, if you notice, from the time it started with the earth without form, and we were applying that to the work, and we were showing that God move across the face of the earth, how he move across the face of the waters, his little church, and we were showing what God is doing on a local level, and how he's speaking, he's brooding. And I stop at verse 5, and today I read 26 to 28 to show you at the end of it. From when God started to move, God knew when he started to move on that earth
a man in his own image and likeness was going to come up at the end. God never did nothing after that. He went to rest after that because that was the objective he was working for. And he never stopped until he brought up a man in his image and likeness to reflect the one who was brooding. Showing that when God moves in this age, God's darkness on this and God's darkness on the people, God will not stop until there's a perfect man on the earth again in this age. And that dominion and these things come back. And that's the plan for the age, and that's the plan for the church, and that's the plan for the believer. When God moves on my life in this age, when God moves on a church in this age, when God moves on the bride in general in this age, God moved. What for? To bring up a perfect man. And notice in each their creation, now, when Paul read Genesis, Paul didn't see Genesis like what we see sometimes. Paul, in reading Genesis, he looked at creation, the light shining forth. God, when God didn't speak, I said, let there be light. And Paul said, that light shining in our heart. Paul see what that light did to the old creation. And Paul say, he's a man become a new creation in Christ. When that light shine into his heart. All things are passing, all things become new. He goes on in Ephesians and says, it's a new man being created all over in the image of God. Created unto righteousness and true holiness. So God's objective is to bring that. God wants a man here in his image. God wants a woman here in his image in this church. And God knows that to get that comfort, it had to have that kind of seed. In other words, the reason Eve could only bring forth what she brought forth is because that is the seed she received. The reason Mary bring forth Christ is because that is the seed she received. You can only bring forth what you receive. See? What is in the seed? Because remember, the womb is only a bedding ground. Right? So then it means to say, God then knowing that this message, Luther message, couldn't produce a perfect man. Wesley message couldn't do it. The Pentecostal message couldn't bring a bride in the rapture. So God had to move. And when by the time he's ready to move with this message, the whole earth was in chaos and darkness again. Isaiah 60, but arise and shine, the light has come. And God began to brood. But watch the first thing. First thing, he began to speak. He's going to come showing that he's going to come by his word because his life and his power is in his word. And if you want to follow up some of this in your own private personal study and listening tapes and so on, you watch and see how the prophet unfolds it. Like in Shalom, he takes gross darkness and gross darkness in the people and shows the condition of the age and the earth. Then God power transform. He said the earth is another darkened chaos. And the Spirit of God is moving again in another darkened chaos. And then God's word called for total separation from all unbelief. He said God is speaking and separating light from darkness. See? And then still not ever the shock, he says God is brooding to bring up a man back in his own image and likeness again. So watch the picture. Watch what he has in his mind. He is seeing Genesis 1, creation, the old creation, what it was, because it was a type of the new creation. See, that's why the new creation was called new creation. The old creation, Adam was the head of the old creation. Christ is the head of the new creation. We were part of the old creation that fell, and we have to come into the new creation, become part of the new creation. On a church level, the new creation is happening. We had to come from the old creation, become part of the new creation. First day, God did it in 6 days. God didn't do everything at one time. God, first day, it started in the evening and ended in the morning. And the evening and the morning was the first day. Watch when God come in this day in a darkened chaos. He starts in the evening. It's in the evening time the light comes. It's in the evening time the Spirit of God begin to move. Why? And when will it end? When the morning break eternal bright and fair, there'll be a perfect man standing here again. Ready for another civilization. See, and in this day, God is doing a great thing. See, so I want you to see, in reviewing you, I want you to see, for 5 months, the word had been being spoken to you in the church, spoken to you in the church, spoken, been speaking in different things. Well, when God was speaking, everything didn't come right away. He supposed to take years after the light come, right? They said, let there be this, let it be that. And the word was spoken, but it was going to come. See, now watch. So then, the first thing we noticed come forth was he started with light. Let there be light. Why? If God is thinking about transforming a dark, chaotic thing into a beautiful Eden, and he's going to he has to know how to transform it, and he has to know what to use to bring the transformation. He's perfect, is that right? And he's going to use the best thing he can use, because he turned around and said, it is good. And he never said it was very good until there was a man standing in his image and likeness, ruling all things. So sometimes we want the compliment is very good. And you can't say it's very good yet. Say it's good. It's all right. It's okay. It's coming along fine. Amen. Because you know to the end what the accomplishment is going to be. All right? Then the second thing God, after light came, then God began to identify the darkness. He called it night. That is night. He said, name it. The thing that held the thing trapped. So then God had to name a few things that held the thing trapped and separate it. See? Why? Because he's fixing to bring life. But he comes and the earth is still there, drunk in waters and everything else. After the first day, God says, good. Second, come now and just separate the waters and make a firmament. And he called it heaven. Is that right? Sure. No, then he called it dry land, earth. So now you have heaven and earth now. And it begins to come forth. Then the third day comes, and he brings forth, he wants some fruit now. He doesn't want a nice heaven, nice atmosphere, light in the place. See? He wants a little fruit. See that every seed shall bring forth of this kind. Let the herb yielding seed and the fruit yielding tree bring forth. Now get this now. I'm trying to be simple, but these thoughts are some deep thoughts. No, and I don't want to just stop the simple part of it. I wanted to get a little insight of where it goes. Where was all these things before it came forth? It was in God's heart. It was in the spirit. The one who was moving and brooding, it was in him. But he was letting it out gradually. So much for each day. Is that right? So much for each day. Because he's not hurrying about this transformation sometimes. He's going to do it because he knows where he's passing. In other words, he's bringing from Egypt to Canaan. In Egypt, they're trapped in darkness and bondage. But then let there be light. Moses come on the scene. Let my people go. God's going to separate the light from the darkness. Right? But God is seeing a people in Canaan land with all things under their feet. A man standing could speak to the sun. With dominion could rule all things. Jesus found them, Peter, a fisherman, Matthew, a tax collector. But he's seen them placed in the economy of God, full of the Holy Ghost with authority. God has seen his church. Yeah, and problems and chaos and this year, and families broken and church being broken and everything else. Chaos. But then God moved and God began to speak. Then what he's doing? He's seen that he's going to bring things back. Amen. He's going to stabilize that. He's going to positionally place people. He's going to brood upon them. He's going to give families victory. Amen. He's going to raise up little children. He's going to save them and fill them with the Holy Ghost. Amen. He's going to teach men headship, take the position in the home over their families, teach women submission, let them come there and the children can call them blessed as they serve in their own home and bring forth, beautify a people with his salvation. He's seen it. And he's brooding. Now watch. And when botany life come out, God brought the flowers in the field, rose of Sharon, lily of the valley over here, God getting into vegetation and he began to bring up the wheat, corner wheat, come up over here. What was God doing? He was unfolding what was in himself. He was the corner wheat. He was the lily of the valley. He was the vine. He was the rose of Sharon. It's different forms of God's life, but it's still not making God clear. It's not going to be made plain until a man in God's image and likeness stand there. with dominion. So the earth now is bringing forth, but they're not bringing forth that which is to reflect the one that's brooding, but bringing forth forms of life. See? Bring forth a divine. Jesus is divine. Bring forth the rose of Sharon. He's the rose of Sharon. Bring forth the lily valley. He's the lily valley. Bring forth a tree. He's the tree of life. It brings forth different things. Then, from there, he moved from there on the fourth day. The light, sun and moon and stars. See? It begins to appear now. But there, some of those lights could only be revealed at night. So even the darkness that he said and put on one side, he's going to use that darkness to even bring out some of the light. Because what was those heavenly bodies? That the zodiac is put out there. The heavens declare the glory of God. Who is it? It's Christ. The sun is there, it's Christ. The moon is Christ in bright form. The stars, messengers, Abraham's seed, everything is put out there. On the fourth day, more forms of life, more revelations of himself. But still not the full mystery is coming. It's unfolding. And we want to see a man with dominion. We want to see a man that can speak. We want to see a man with rulership on his feet. He's coming. He's brooding. He's coming. Amen. He will not stop until he comes to that place. You look back and see. He's bringing. Just follow. Follow. God wouldn't stop. Because for you to be a real, true new creation. See, new heaven, new mind, new heaven, new earth, new city, new heaven, new earth. For that new mind. See. You are the beginning of the creation of God. Then you were the beginning of the creation, Christ. Then you have the continuation of the same creation, the bride. Then you have the new heaven and new earth, the new creation coming to its full completion. It comes to its full completion when all things become new. And that's why he is moving, he's brooding. So, when you look and see where he's taking you, what he's doing, and right now you might only be bringing forth life in a form, in a little symbol that can't even rule and have dominion, but a form of life testifying of him. See? Then, the fifth day, he brings forms of life in air and water. He said the water is moving abundantly and he falls to the air. And he put a dove up inside of there, put the eagle up inside of there. See? The rainbow trout in the water and these things. What he's doing? It's more of himself being revealed. It's more forms of life. It's another unfolding of the one, because the creator is being revealed in his creation. Every artist's work, we are his workmanship. He is the workman. And the workmanship is to reveal the workman. It exhibits the skill. It exhibits the intelligence. It displays the power. It displays the vision of the workman. You don't glorify the object. You glorify the one who's doing the work. This is only speaking of the greatness of the one. Look, you say, oh, that's a great watch. When you think of the man who designed it and put it together. How much greater he is. See? And then when you're watching, you see that after that form of the life, then God bring on the sixth day, he brings forms of life on the earth now. Lion, ox, lamb, horse. See, it's all speaking of Christ. White horse, the military plant. It's Christ, the word. The lion, a Judah, Christ. The lamb of God, Christ. It forms a life, but still not the form of life that can rule and have dominion. Still the form of life that's reflecting the fullness of the one that is doing the creating. So he knows his work is not complete. He knows his work must still be advanced. But he stopped the creating when he came to the last thing. When he made a man in his image and likeness and gave him dominion, he stopped. He couldn't go beyond that. Because that was the reflection. That was the perfection of his creation. That reflected what he was doing. That displayed his full purpose he had in his heart. When he looked at the earth there and moved upon it and begin to speak. That was the end of everything being completed. And so, that work that started in the evening time, the evening, the morning, the sixth day, and then God went to rest. See? And that work started with light, and that light brought separation and life. Then that light, as Paul says, shines in our heart. So though the light is shining in our heart, God is speaking, is separating light from darkness. It's going to be quite some time of brooding before the image of God appears in the earth. The image that can rule and have dominion and display headship. See? Before you have a man created in true righteousness, in true holiness, who can rule all things. So, but what's something now? The creation didn't start nothing. The creation didn't continue nothing. The creation perfected nothing. It was the one who was doing the brooding, was doing the work. That was the workmanship. And that is why, if we can review as a church the 5 months, because when the message was spoken, that first message, it spoke to show you what God is doing, why he is doing what he's doing, what he has come to do, and what the unfolding of the work here is to be, and what the end of that work and the achievement will be to show God's purpose fulfilled. And you want to sit in your own life, you want to sit in your own home, and you want to realize that certain things, before it can fully come forth in its fullness, it comes forth in one form, it grows into another. It keeps on going until it is fully visible, it's fully reflected. Amen? So God, we should bless you. We're going to keep you much longer than that. I have something I would like to read, but it's past time already. So, let's just stand to our feet. I want you to consider what we say. Review it in your heart. You've been sitting over these months, you've been hearing the word. You want God to put it together in your mind. That will have to be a work of the Spirit. Flesh and blood cannot reveal it. But as you hear the word, and faith come by hearing, and hearing by the word, and the word create a desire in your heart to become that word. And your objective and your purpose in coming in the house of God to service is because you feel that call of the Holy Spirit, that deep call in you to serve Him this hour, to separate from everything. There's a hunger. There's something that desires that reality. He is going to give it to you. Because He promised that. I try to speak these little things here in a way that you can see some how simple. God didn't stop brooding. He knew when he was going to stop. He knew his objective was going to be. He knew the way he was bringing it. He knew when each day finished, each a particular phase of work for each day. And he knew how much stages he must go before that man stands here. When we look, we see that there's different stages that God comes through. As he broods and you want to see different forms of life, like faith and virtue. And in the Bible, we go down through different ones in the Bible, like one form of life in Noah, one form of life in Abraham, one form of life in Samson, one form of life here. And it reveals different things about Christ. It reveals different things about His church. Until there's going to be a full reflection in the life of the believer. And if you know, and you can see, that the God who moved in your direction, move upon this scene, move upon your heart. And that God will begin to speak to you and let you know you are mine. I want to bring something out to you. Paul says, the light begins to shine into our heart. Where did the new creation come, the new man? He said, right inside of you. Where did the old organ come? He said, right inside of you. So when he read Genesis, that's what he was seeing. When he read about Abraham and Sarah and Hagar in Genesis, he didn't see a family business. He said, it's covenants. He said, Sarah is the new Jerusalem. He said, Hagar is the law. Look what you see. When he read Genesis, he was seeing principles of life and unfolding. He was seeing things into such a depth. So when we read Genesis, you know, there's so much that is laying there for him to read inside it. Because remember what is in Genesis, the rest of the Bible only unfolds. The rest of the Bible don't produce nothing new. It only unfolds what he is in Genesis. Then the more you read Genesis, the more you look into it, the more you see God in seed form. Look at Enoch, look at Rebecca, look at Abraham, look at Melchizedek, look at all these things. It's all there. And sometimes the word is being spoken, but it takes a prayerful heart, it takes a prayerful attitude. It takes an inquiring mind. Like Abraham, he went to the Lord, Lord, will I go childless? He come back and said, Lord, didn't you promise me so? Didn't when you called me to separate from my country, you tell me about a son? Maybe I don't know the different thing I have to go through, something I have to go through. Give me some revelation that it will settle me then. So maybe if I complain, if I'm a little anxious because I lack in understanding, not I didn't believe in the promise, but it will help me to be more in harmony with you, Lord, to be able to yield and surrender to you better. And you watch and see if he's going to do it for him. Because he's faithful. And if he sees you so interested in what he's doing for you and in you, then you just let go and let him have his wonderful way. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Our precious Lord Jesus, the few moments we could have taken tonight just to review a few things, Lord, and fellowship around your word and put your children in remembrance, realizing, dear God, that as a little church here, a little body of believers within the identity of a local assembly in the revealed word of this hour, a little tree that was planted, oh God, and as a shrub in the desert, as it were. But Lord, you want to plant it at the side of that river whose water is clear as crystal that proceeded out of the throne. You want to plant it, Lord, where its roots can be watered with the waters of life that can bring forth its fruit in due season. You said, so is a man. A man is like a tree. And your prophet said, David saw that tree that was in the Garden of Eden planted by that river. Oh, God, when we come to the end of the Bible, we see that tree still planted by the rivers, Lord. But how thankful we are for the eyes of understanding being opened to realize that out of this botany life was such a great hidden mystery, Lord, of you and your people and the word that they are to manifest in the season that they are predestinated to live in. And the Holy Spirit is sent to anoint them and to water them, Lord, that you can be glorified in the fruit that they would bear. Oh, gracious God, I pray tonight, Father, that, Lord, this little group here, these precious souls that day after day, night after night, come to this place, Lord, desiring to be so fruitful for you. Desiring, oh God, to truly manifest the testimony that you desire to show forth out of their lives in this hour. Are you not our husbandman, Father? You are the vine dresser, the one, dear God, who knows how to prune the vine. Though it's bearing fruit, it can bear much fruit. You see fruit and you are pleased, Lord, but you desire more fruit. And sometimes you prune it not because it is not bearing fruit, but because you desire more fruit out of it. Teach us your ways, Lord. That what we bring forth, we can bring forth in quality. We can bring forth, dear God, according to the promise of the hour that we are living in. We can bring forth, dear God, according to the measure of the life that you put within us. Lord, I pray tonight that these few words that were spoken as a form of encouragement and to enlighten them, Lord, and to let them realize that out of the simplicity, the work that is being done under the moving of the Spirit and the word being spoken and the objective you still have in view and working to achieve and the measure of work allotted to each day and how it's unfolding you in different forms and in different ways and in different realms because it pleases you to do it that way, Father. Lord, I pray we would not forget it, but we remember it. And we consider it in the present. And it would cause us, dear God, to focus and look forward with a clear vision that we can walk in for the things that are yet to be. The things that you desire to bring to pass in our lives, Lord. Lord, we thank you for the faithfulness of your servants. The brothers, Lord, who stood so gallantly at the post of duty, Lord, in the season, Lord, of our absence and ministering, Lord, in different areas, being faithful to be present in the services of the post of duty. Knowing, oh God, many times it might have been difficult for them to even be there, but yet, because of the commitment, because of the concern, because of they are convinced, Lord, that is your people that you are doing something for them? Lord, I pray you lay a special blessing upon them. You encourage them for the faithful service, the dedicated life, the availability, oh God. Lord, the families represented here, the brothers and the sisters, the fathers and the mothers, all that stood at the post of duty supporting the work with the presence, with the prayers, with the tithes, with the offerings, dear God. Being faithful, Lord, being loyal. Lord, tonight, some might be in need, dear God. Surely you see, oh God, what they are lacking and what they have need of. I pray you'll not let them walk away from this place tonight unless they have that assurance in their heart, Lord. The Holy Spirit will visit them throughout this week in their homes and their jobs. Lord God, bring back things to remembrance, your presence, comfort in them, ministering to them, Lord. Letting them know, Father, you see what they do and you are mindful. Remember in the book of Chronicles of Josiah, when the word spoke to the prophetess, she said, go tell that man, I saw how he wept, I saw how he cried, I saw the burden in his heart when he heard the word, when he saw the hour. Lord, we know you look on every little thing that we do, Father. We know none of these things escape your eye. You're not unmindful of it. Lord Jesus, you promise you will not let us go unrewarded either. Bless them, Lord, and strengthen them. Lord, even these sisters that are here visiting tonight, how we so thank you, Lord, that they even take a little time off to be here tonight and come and give a little support to the meeting, Lord, and knowing, dear God, that you did such a wonderful thing for them that time, Lord. And Father, they love you and they love your word, and it's good to see them standing still in their faith in this dark hour. May you encourage them and may you cause your word to open in such a way that would give them grace to walk in the fullness and see every word made manifest in our lives in this hour. That we can contend for all that was promised and all that was restored and vindicated and proven to be the promise of this hour. That we can see become a living reality in our lives. May we not stop pressing until we see that, Father. Have your own blessed way, Lord. We truly appreciate your goodness and your grace, your mercy, your loving kindness. As we leave this place tonight to go to our homes, Lord, may your never-failing presence go with us and watch over us. Take us safely and may, dear God, just keep us abiding under the shadow of your wings. Grant it, we pray. We love you and appreciate you. We ask it in the precious name of our Lord Jesus, to whom we give all honor and glory tonight, Father. We thank you for it.
Blessed be your wonderful name. Amen. God is so good. God is so good. God is so good. God is so Express your love to him tonight. I love him so. Thank you, Jesus. I love him so. He answers prayer. We know he does. He answers prayer. Hallelujah. He answers. Oh, he's so faithful tonight. Hallelujah. His ear is attentive to every prayer. He answers prayer. He's so good. Oh, God is so good. I love him so. God is so good. I love him so. I love him so. Oh, he answers prayer. He answers prayer. He is so good. Oh, let the things sweep over my soul. Sweep over. Let the Holy Spirit that brood on you tonight. That God who brooded in Genesis. Sweep over my soul. Oh, sweet Spirit. Sweet Spirit. Sweep over my soul. Sweep over my soul. Oh, my rest is complete.